It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy. Today's in is called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24, Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is a blessing to be together, brothers and sisters. Thank God for the technology that brings his people together in these difficult times. It's time for our opening prayer on this Sabbath day. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Happy Sabbath. Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to once again worship during these hours of holiness. The sacredness of our time together on this day is so incredibly important because it shows that we take the time to worship our Creator and to understand that this is the Sabbath day, a day that we keep special for worship, a day that we keep special for serving you and to be of service to others. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit will come and teach us what we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor. Fill him with your Spirit. And as always, we pray for grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. For all is asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Amen. It's about time. If you want to follow me in your Bible, just to know what chapter, of course, I've mentioned it before, but the Beatitudes are in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 5 today. And after prayer, I'll read it from the Word of God. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come and to sit at your feet. We recognize that you are the sovereign of the universe, but you're not so busy that you cannot take note of the details of each of our individual lives. We each have your undivided attention, yet you hear us all. That's an impossibility by man's standard, but we thank God that you're God and you know how to do all things well. Bless us, dear Father, as we grow in grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, I mentioned to you all that the Beatitudes are a progression in your Christian walk. You're going to read that today. I'm reading from a wonderful book written by a woman with a third grade education. She is the same author from which I have gained a lot of health knowledge that gave me the path that I'm on today and that you all are on today as well. Whether you know it or not, God gave special messages. They're biblical. They're biblical. But a lot of times we lose sight. That's why there's so many different churches all claiming to have the same guidebook. Why is that, friends? It's because we're not studying the way we ought. So God sometimes sends messages through his servants. Now, anybody who believes that God is sending them messages, we must test them. By their fruit ye shall know, that the Bible says in the book of Matthew. Also, we're told in Deuteronomy chapter 22, I believe, 18, that if a person makes a prediction claiming to be a prophet and it does not come true, God said, don't be afraid of them, meaning they haven't been, they're not warning you from me. They spoke of themselves. They are not a true prophet. So I just want to let you all know that I'm reading from a book called Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. Now, you can actually download an app. It's the EGW app, EG White app. It's version number 2. And a large portion of her books and writings and things of that nature are there. That being said, let's pray. If we haven't prayed already, we'll pray again. Father, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. We're going to learn that meekness is not weakness, brothers and sisters. I'm reading from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, and it's on page 13. Throughout the Beatitudes, there is an advancing line of Christian experience. Those who have felt their need of Christ, that's the poor in spirit, by the way, those who have mourned because of sin and have sat with Christ in the school of affliction, that's blessed are they that mourn, by the way, will learn meekness from the divine teacher, patience and gentleness under wrong. Were not characteristics prized by the heathen or by the Jews. So I'm going to pause and let's make sure we understand what meekness is. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is patience and gentleness under wrong. So in order for you to have meekness, you've got to be done wrong. Did you catch that, brothers and sisters? If you follow Christ, you have an enemy called the devil. Even if you don't follow Christ, you have an enemy called the devil. So you might as well follow Christ because now you've got some help from somebody that's stronger than your enemy. The devil is not your friend even when you're doing his bidding. So why are we doing it? Why are we worshiping his way? Why are we dressing his way? Why are we eating his way? Why are we talking his way? He hates you. The devil wants you to be lost so he doesn't have to burn for your sin. You can read about that in the book of Leviticus. When the high priest, and the Bible says in Hebrews 8 and 9, Jesus is our high priest. He You see, that earthly sanctuary, brothers and sisters, was a simple model to teach lessons about Jesus, because he would die on Calvary, be raised up, and then go in and become our great high priest. So in Leviticus, at the end of the year, which represented the end of the age, okay, or at least on this earth, because we know there's life eternal, but at the end of the sinful world, time of this sinful world, near the end, the high priest went in the most holy place, and he only went in that day during the yearly cycle. And then he would confess his own sin, which Jesus didn't sin himself, but he was sin for us, the Bible says. And then he would confess the sins of the people. That's the high priest, like Aaron was a high priest. Then he would come out, and he would place his head on a goat called the scapegoat, and he was led out into the wilderness by a fit man. That represented the fact that the sins of all the people that were confessed and repented of that went into the sanctuary were covered by the blood. In the Old Testament, it was symbolically the blood of the animal, but it represented the blood of Christ. He just hadn't come yet, okay? So it was teaching the plan of redemption. So Jews don't have any excuse. They do not understand the plan of redemption. It's just a bunch of ceremonies and things like that to Jewish people today. But I'm here to tell you, the ceremonies are wonderful, but you've got to know Jesus and accept Jesus. They killed him, so they don't understand why they're keeping all the feasts and these kinds of things that we don't have to keep anymore because they were nailed to the cross. But the weekly Sabbath, brothers and sisters, was not a feast pointing forward to anything Jesus did. It points backward to creation. That being said, the devil does not like you. The high priest placing his hands on the head of the scapegoat represented the transference of sin to Satan, and therefore he will carry the liability of everyone who is saved. Maybe you were a prostitute or just a loose woman, didn't know your value. Maybe you were a player, didn't know your value, and you're spreading your seed all over the planet. Maybe you drank or smoke or whatever. Maybe you have a temper. Whatever. I don't care if you've been doing stuff for 80, 90 years. When you give your heart to God, Christ's blood covers your sin as though you had never done it. And if you continue in Christ, we must continue, endure to the end to be saved. Once saved, always saved is not biblical, brothers and sisters. That way, people can just say, okay, I'm going to plan on doing some dirt tomorrow. Let me go ahead and give my heart to Christ today so I'll be saved no matter what. That doesn't even make sense. You see, it's because that's a lie from the pit of hell to keep people out of the kingdom. The devil doesn't want you there. He will have to burn for every person who is saved. Okay? For the people who are lost, the wages of sin is death. You burn for your own sin. It can't be talking about the regular death. That wages of sin is death is talking about eternal death, because it contrasts with the gift of God, which is eternal life. Okay, so it's eternal death or eternal life. I'm going to put a plug in for the truth here. A lot of people believe that when you die, you go straight to heaven or hell. Brothers and sisters, if you died and went to hell and burned forever, you would have eternal life. It might be hot, but it would be eternal life. The Bible does not promise the wicked eternal life, whether it's hot or heavenly. He promises the wicked that they would die. And that's merciful. They would be tortured in heaven where there's peace and joy and beauty when their hearts are evil, corrupt, and sinful. Okay? He's not going to force anybody up there where there's bliss. The light of God's countenance would shine, and that's why the wicked are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. That's why even we as sinful mortals who have given our heart to God are changed. Notice what it said. In a moment. We're all changed at the same time, brothers and sisters. People aren't in heaven right now who have died. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Satan is not your friend. That's my point. So you might as well serve the one who we can sing about when we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the song didn't say, oh, what a friend we have in Satan. We don't have a friend in Satan. Let's stop serving him. Let's stop following him. Let's stop eating the way he wants us to eat, drinking. The reason why the devil doesn't want you to have the health message is because when we eat and drink like a drunkard, and I said eat and drink like a drunkard. That's right, brothers and sisters. You can eat like a drunkard. A drunkard, is he drinks in such a way where his mind is altered. You can eat in a way that your mind is altered when you're just eating like there's no end, eating all day long, have no control. You need to come to Jesus. He will give you power over appetite, brothers and sisters. And so my point before we get back to the reading is the devil does not want you to be saved. He is not your friend. Jesus is your friend. So you might as well serve him, because the one you're serving is not your friend. Amen. Let's read on. We're talking about meekness now, patience and gentleness under wrong. Patience and gentleness under wrong were not characteristics prized by the heathen or by the Jews. The statement made by Moses under inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he was the meekest man upon the earth would not have been regarded by the people of his time as a commendation. It would rather have excited pity or contempt. But Jesus places meekness among the first qualifications for his kingdom. In his own life and character, the divine beauty of this precious grace is revealed. Jesus, the brightness of the Father's glory, thought it not a thing to be grasped, to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Philippians 2, 6 and 7. Through all the lowly experiences of life, he consented to pass, walking among the children of men, not as a king to demand homage, but as one whose mission it was to serve others. There was in his manner no taint of bigotry, no cold austerity. The world's Redeemer had a greater than angelic nature, yet united with his divine majesty were meekness, humility, that attracted all to himself. You see, when you're meek and you're humble, you're attractive. I don't care what the mirror says. Did we hear what the Spirit of God said? I don't care what the mirror says. If you're humble and you're meek, you're beautiful, you're handsome. Jesus emptied himself. In all that he did, self did not appear. He subordinated all things to the will of his Father. When his mission on earth was about to close, he could say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 17:4. And he bids us learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Matthew 11:29, Matthew 16:24. Let self be dethroned and no longer hold the supremacy of the soul. I want to pause. Brothers and sisters, do you have marriage problems? Do you have other relationship problems? Do you have problems with children, with family, with parents? Somebody's not meek, okay? And somebody is not humble. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I have read to you that beautiful statement. I can read it again. I'll try to find it, brothers and sisters. It's a beautiful statement. It will shock you. I promise you, it will shock you. Let me find it for you. Let's see here. I think it's this quote. First of all, it comes from Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. If you've got contention with somebody, there's got to be pride. With you or with them or with both. Now notice what we read from a beautiful book called Early Writings, page 119. If pride and selfishness were laid aside, 5 minutes would remove most difficulties. Angels have been grieved and God displeased by the hours which have been spent in justifying self. You ever had hours long arguments with your spouse, hours long arguments with people that you know? Friend, somebody's got some problems with pride. And only by pride cometh contention. And the Lord has told us through his servant, if pride and selfishness were laid aside, 5 minutes would remove most difficulties. We just need to talk for 5 minutes and we'd be all right. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that's what I want. Can we say amen? He who beholds Christ in his self-denial, his lowliness of heart, will be constrained to say, as did Daniel when he beheld one like the sons of men, my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. Daniel 10:8. We see our sinfulness when we start beholding Christ. The independence and self-supremacy in which we glory are seen in their true vileness as tokens of servitude to Satan. Human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest. But he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Then we are not anxious to have the highest place. We have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice. But we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. We look at Jesus waiting for his hand to lead, listening for his voice to guide. The Apostle Paul had this experience, and he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. That's a song. Shall I sing it for you? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. At present, brothers and sisters, these are on my Facebook timeline. So you, if you're on Facebook, you can go back and listen to the songs, listen to the message. They're also posted at this present time on torwm.org. Now, that may change, but that's where they're posted. So you have access to these messages, these songs. When we receive Christ as an abiding guest in the soul, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Savior's life on earth, though lived in the midst of conflict, was a life of peace. While angry enemies were constantly pursuing him, he said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." No storm of human or satanic wrath could disturb the calm of that perfect communion with God. And he says to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls." That's John 14:27, Matthew 11:29. Bear with me the yoke of service for the glory of God and the uplifting of humanity, and you will find the yoke easy and the burden light. It is the love of self that destroys our peace. Did you catch that? It is the love of self that destroys our peace. While self is all alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult. But when we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall not take neglects or slights to heart. We shall be deaf to reproach and blind to scorn and insult. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness. You know what? I believe that there's been a little bit of tampering. I believe the Spirit of the Lord would have had our dear sister to put this in the King James Version. So I'm going to quote it from the King James. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. That's 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Happiness drawn from earthly sources is as changeable as varying circumstances can make it. But the peace of Christ is a constant and abiding peace. It does not depend upon any circumstances in life, on the amount of worldly goods or the number of earthly friends. Christ is the fountain of living water, and happiness drawn from him can never fail. The meekness of Christ manifested in the home will make the inmates happy. It provokes no quarrel, gives back no angry answer, but soothes the irritated temper and diffuses a gentleness that is felt by all within its charmed circle. Wherever cherished, it makes the families of earth a part of the one great family above. Far better would it be for us to suffer under false accusations than to inflict upon ourselves the torture of retaliation upon our enemies. Did you catch that? When you have to retaliate against your enemy, even the ones that have falsely accused you, it's a torture to your own soul. The spirit of hatred and revenge originated with Satan and can bring only evil to him who cherishes it. Lowliness of heart, that meekness which is the fruit of abiding in Christ, is the true secret of blessing. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Psalms 149:4. The meek shall inherit the earth. It was not through the desire for self-exaltation that sin entered into the world. And our first parents lost the dominion over this fair earth, their kingdom. It is through self-abnegation that Christ redeems what is lost. And he says we are to overcome as he did, Revelation 3:21. Through humility and self-surrender, we may become heirs with him when the meek shall inherit the earth, Psalms 37:11. The earth promise to the meek will not be like this, darkened with sin, the shadow of death and the curse. We, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. 2 Peter 3:13 and Revelation 22:3. There is no disappointment, no sorrow, no sin, no one who shall say, I am sick. There are no burial trains, no mourning, no death, no partings, no broken hearts. But Jesus is there. Peace is there. There they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Isaiah 49 and verse 10. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God is merciful. God is kind. God is meek. And we need to be meek. Blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this message. Help self to die because we've dwelt on Christ. We kept our eyes on the prize, and we have watched with our spiritual eye the meekness of Christ. We pray that you bless us, and by beholding, we will become changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we will take a break before our wellness segment with the beautiful song, The Ministry of Healing by Roberta Pennington. Then we'll come back, and we'll talk about true science, brothers and sisters, and how your health depends upon true science.
When Christ was
Amen. Praise God. Okay, my brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about the importance of true science and your health. True science and your health. I want to begin by taking us to a scripture in the Bible, and it is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. So the Lord tells us that there's a science that's falsely called science. Did you know that science really means the truth? Its meaning is connected to finding the truth. And so, brothers and sisters, anything, I don't care what kind of PhDs it is presented by, what kind of doctors are presenting it, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's false science, friends. There's lots of false sciences. There's a false science that PhDs are promoting that says that this world was created in billions of years, took billions of years to be what it is today. The Bible tells us in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. And you can understand that a global flood wherein water would be coming out of the ground. So the Bible said the fountains of the great deep were broken up at the flood. It covered every mountain, brothers and sisters. It created great gorges like the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls and other types of things where water would dry, the earth was just washed away, creating these river channels, so to speak. And yet, even through that, there is beauty left behind. But that didn't take billions of years, my friend. And it didn't come from an explosion. If you believe that science, you're not going to follow the true God. But more specifically, we have science that tells us that the best approach to disease is sticking something in your body as opposed to choosing the right foods that God put in our bodies. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, verses chapter 1, verse 29, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, that's every plant bearing seed, and every fruit tree bearing fruit, to you it shall be for meat. The fact that the trees outside your window aren't fruit bearing and that you can eat, that's the result of sin. All trees had fruit, brothers and sisters. That was the definition of a tree. It bore fruit. So in sin, that stopped. But we still have some good old apple trees and some orange trees and some lemon trees and some grapefruit trees and so on and so forth. But all the trees had lovely fruit from the Bible, Bible time. My brothers and sisters, a plant-based diet is the best diet. I don't care if anybody tells you anything different, run from them. They don't know true science. And so true science is not concerned about preventing disease, my friends. You know, I'm here to tell you that there's no money in dead people. There's no money, and I'm just saying what a reporter said. I'm not in any way making light of the dead. I saw this on a news report. It said there's no money in dead people, and there's no money in healthy people. It's talking about money gained by the health professions of our world. The money is those in between. So if you're not dead and you're not healthy, that means you're sick. That's where the money comes. And so, my brothers and sisters, it is not their goal, because the love of money is the root of all evil. If you don't believe that, just scroll right on up the chapter to verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we are not to do, even as medical missionaries, what we do for money. Does that mean everything has to be free? No, it does not, because you've got to live or you can't help anybody. You've got to turn on your lights and have your computers to write programs for people and have facilities where people can come and be healed. You can't afford to do that free. But at the same time, there is no concept. I mean, there's no comparison to the cost of medical missionary work compared to the cost of modern medicine. My brothers and sisters, one bag of chemotherapy costs $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. Just the bag itself that's hanging on that little pole that's going into somebody's arm, that's $60,000 to $70,000. Come on. What if I sold you some herbs for $60,000 or $70,000? That would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, these procedures and surgeries and ambulance rides and all of these things. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying some of that isn't necessary. I'm just here to tell you that there's a money motivator behind it from the top. It doesn't have to be that way. It could have been set up differently, but it wasn't. It was set up to bring lots and lots of money into people's pockets. And so the world doesn't want you to know about the plant-based diet that God has given. The world doesn't want you to know about the live-free lifestyle because it would prevent the diseases that are the chronic diseases of our day. What is the live-free lifestyle? The L stands for love God. Oh, my friends, if we love him, we will serve him. We will follow him. We will have peace. We will have stress relief. And stress is a major cause of disease. The I is include temperance. The world will teach you that it's all right to have a little drink. You see it on television all the time. At the end of the day, people have to pour a little something and drink a little something together. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. He that is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, they would say, oh, a little bit won't hurt. And the Bible promotes a little wine for your stomach's sake. That was grape juice, my friends. How do we prove it? Because nobody goes to the liquor store and buys a bottle of Mad Dog 2020 when they have an upset stomach. They go get Alka-Seltzer, an alkaline seltzer. They go get things to calm and soothe an irritated, acid-filled stomach, Pepto-Bismol. Tum-ta-tum-tum. Remember that commercial? Maybe I'm telling on myself. It used to be a commercial with that song on it about Tums. How do you spell relief? I remember that commercial growing up. R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Those are antacids. They neutralize acid. When alcohol is formed from grape juice into wine, it becomes acidic. Drinking wine would make an upset stomach worse. Paul was telling Timothy to go get some grape juice. The Bible tells us in the True Science book in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8, the Bible says, drink the wine when it is in the cluster. There's a blessing in it. That's the cluster of grapes. So the words grape juice are not in the Bible. It was called wine. And then when it transitioned and fermented, it didn't change. It still is wine. The name didn't change. But in the Old Testament, when it was grape juice, it was called the Hebrew word tirosh was used. And when it was alcohol, the word yayin was used. And so you can follow every story. Whenever they got drunk, you look it up in the Hebrew, it was yayin, although the Bible said it was wine. Whenever it was something positive, like the blessing we read in Isaiah 65:8 from the cluster, it was tirosh. The beautiful story of, well, there's a story. I wouldn't call the story so beautiful, but we still learn truth from it, and truth is beautiful. But when Jacob deceived his father Isaac, he gave him yayin to drink to distort his mind. He gave his father some alcohol to drink. But when Isaac gave the blessing he thought he was giving to Esau to Jacob, he said, and may you have plenty of corn and wine, and it was tirosh. He blessed him with grape juice, though his son had perverted his mind with alcohol. My brothers and sisters, science will tell you there's a little blessing in a little red wine. It is. And it's the same blessing in a little red wine is in a whole lot of red grape juice. So they got the blessing from the grape juice. It just didn't lose that blessing in red wine. But the red wine does other bad things for you, brothers and sisters, distorting you. You're not going to have good blood to think positive thoughts and clear thoughts and have a calm, meek spirit if you're drinking alcohol. Oh, my friends, when we deal with pandemics, how are we dealing with them? Are we keeping our immune system strong, or are we just taking things in various ways to supposedly deal with the threat? And, friends, you need to check out things that are not presented on the news. The rates of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, has skyrocketed since the slamdemic, okay? Since the slamdemic, it has skyrocketed. The rate of athletes falling over dead or dying has skyrocketed since the slamdemic, brothers and sisters. I am here to tell you that God always had a better way, and we were scared into doing some things in the slamdemic that God didn't want us to do, friend. And unfortunately, churches gave in, forgot the God that they served and the health message that God gave. He said in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Oh, my friends, I'm here to tell you that there's going to come a point in time in everybody's life you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to follow God and his true science, or am I going to follow science, falsely so-called, which is stimulated by the love of money? Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want you to be saved, and I want you to be healthy. Doesn't God want to? 3 John 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The Live Free Lifestyle. Love God. Include temperance. Vital water. Eat healthy. Fresh air. Rest. Exercise. And enjoy sunlight. These are the 8 principles, friends, that will keep you healthy. May God bless you. It's time now for us to transition to the wellness, I'm sorry, to our sharing and caring time. And we do so with roll call. We have a Tori on Facebook. Not sure where he or she is from, but God bless you. We've got Brother Peyton. And Tori says, good morning. We've got Brother Peyton from North Carolina saying happy Sabbath to all of us. We've got Sister Glorious from Virginia saying happy good morning and happy Sabbath to us. We've got Sister Tysha. I'm not sure where she is now. I met her in Georgia. God bless you. She says happy Sabbath to us. And as it relates to the phone call, we have Ohio again. We have Pennsylvania. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Michigan. God bless you. We have Missouri. We have Oklahoma. We have South Carolina. We have Michigan again, and we have Georgia. Phone lines are open. I'm going to begin by reading something from Charmin, who had sent this the other day, and she's been so patient with me. Good morning. God bless all on the call requesting prayer for myself, my son, and my daughter, for God to draw nigh to us, speak to our hearts and mind, strengthen us to spend time with him, cover us with his protection. Amen. What a beautiful prayer request. That is from Charmin. Anybody else have a thought, question, comment, prayer request? I want to mention our new time for services is 12:30. Okay, so if you don't get a link, which you should, those who get them, just know it's 12:30 and not 12, and we look forward to worshiping with you in the Divine Worship Hour. Friends, if you'd like to support Torso Ministry, we want you to know you can do so on the phone. You can do so on our website with a donate button. You can write to us at Post Office Box 208, and that is Curtisville, Pennsylvania. That's 15032. The things that God has us doing, friends, it will be such a blessing as we move into a more educational framework to train medical missionaries. Friends, it takes a lot of funding to do what we're doing. We appreciate those who feel led to support the ministry. May God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Is there anyone that wants to share anything at this time? And by the way, for those of you who just wanted to know, everything you give is tax deductible. You will get that receipt that you would normally get from a religious institution, usually at the end or at the very, very beginning of the year, of the previous year, the very beginning of the year for the donations of the previous year. We take care of God's business. One of our mottos, we strive for excellence. Let all things be done decently and in order. Where is that found? 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let's start memorizing scripture more in this new year, friend. Memorizing scripture. You know, I know a lot of scripture, but sometimes I forget where it's from. So that's going to be one of my goals as we come into the end of this year and into the new year, to know more of where they are. So I'll say this before we go to our sister Desiree. Because of 1 Corinthians 10 and 20 are numbers easy to remember. So if you can remember 1 Timothy, did I say 1 Timothy? Let me make sure I got it right now. Yes, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 10 talks about the root of all evil, which is money, the love of money. And because a root comes before a branch, that verse will come first. Go down 10 more to 20, and then you have science falsely so-called. So the science falsely so-called scripture is in 1 Timothy 6:20. The scripture that is the root of that, money, is 1 Timothy 6:10. So it's kind of easy to remember. One is 10, one is 20, and it's 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6. Okay, so we're going to Sister Desiree at this time. If anyone else is there, please press star 6. We'd love to hear from you. Good morning, Sister Desiree. Happy Sabbath.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath to you. Happy Sabbath, everyone, Sister Maria. I just wanted to know, because of here lately, sometimes my phone would go out or I didn't charge it, or I actually had a power outage. And when it was a few days ago during the broadcast, and I went downstairs, it was like it only affected upstairs and not downstairs, because usually when it happens, so I was like, I have to really pray. But I wanted to know, will this broadcast here be on the TOR, you know, that website today?
Yes.
Will it be up today?
Ooh, I don't do that. We have someone that does that. We definitely don't require them to do that on Sabbath.
Okay.
It's not a violation of the Sabbath for them to post it. So I can't say that it will definitely be up. Do you need it to be up today? Because maybe I can just do it and make sure it's up. Do you want it to be up today?
I was just going to try to go back to this morning's devotion and go back, because I actually missed a good few minutes. I mean, literally, I missed because my phone died and I didn't charge it. So
gotcha.
I actually missed a good portion, and I had to charge it, and then I came in later. So
well, I'm going to tell you what I can tell you. Let me just say this. There are several ways. There's more than one way, I should say. And we have a playback with free conference call. And
okay.
I can get you that number. And you can always, as long as you do it within 24 hours, you'll always hear the most recent. If you need to keep one, you have to have a reference number. Like if you want to know what was the one 3 or 4 days ago, you would have to have a reference number. But you don't need a reference number if it's the playback. So what I'm going to do, I'll just announce it, but I will text this to you. The playback number is 267-807-9613. 267-807-9613. Now, you have to have a code, and that's 635-150. Okay? So I'll text that to you. I'm sorry. 635-270 is the access code. I was wrong. 635-270 and maybe pound. So I'm going to send that to you, Sister Desiree, even as we speak. And let's see, 635-270. It might require a pound, so I'm going to put the pound in the text. But yes, that's for everybody's benefit. There is a playback number. You can dial that playback number, put in the access code, and you'll hear the most recent broadcast.
And one more question is, bear with me. Do y'all do coaching as well? Like coaching if people wanted to, you know, like coaching.
What kind of coaching? You're talking about like wellness coaching?
Yes. Uh-huh.
For health and healing? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, we do.
Okay.
We do,
okay,
and we teach you how to do that. That's that course on wellness coaching. You have to have a foundation on some of the main diseases, a kind of walk through diseases, causes, prevention, and cure. So that course teaches you how to be a wellness coach and gives you a certification as well.
Okay.
But yes, we do. So definitely contact us if you need some help.
Okay.
All right, dear sister. You're welcome. You're welcome. Is there anybody else that wants to share anything? We would love to hear from you, and we will turn it over at this time to my wife, Undreamed Of. And she'll have our closing prayer. I guess, let me see, I'm trying to remember the... Yeah, I think we do closing prayer, then we do the fourth commandment. Is that right, honey, or do we do the fourth commandment, then closing prayer? I forget. I think we do the prayer first.
We do the...
Yeah, then we do, yeah, because we end with closing song. Go ahead, it's prayer time. Forgive us, for it's early morning. I know we do this a lot, but it's still early in the morning. Amen. Sweetheart.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship. And we thank you for giving us the Sabbath day, a day to set aside our secular work and activities and be able to recognize our Creator. We put before you many petitions that were asked, some over the last few days, some over the past week or so. And we just want to keep them before you, Lord, because we know that you are a God who hears and answers all prayers. This morning, we want to pray for our dear sister, Kevin, as she is traveling. Not sure if she has left yet, but we know that she has those travel plans ready to go, set in motion to visit her family. And her mom, I believe her mom is 102 years old, and we just pray that this would be a blessed and rejoiceful visit as she spends time with her family members. We ask for her protection to and from as she travels. We want to pray, Lord, for, I'm not sure if Sister Lenny has given us an update on her niece who was rushed to the hospital some time ago. She may have, and I may have just missed that, but we do pray that she is recovering well. We want to keep before you celebrities of this world, especially those that are in the billionaire clubs. We just pray, Lord, that they can find you in the midst of their deception by the devil. We want to pray for the aunt roommate who is into devil worship, and we just pray, Lord, that that board that she has would be destroyed and that the aunt would still be able to be moved into a different room. So we pray for protection to be granted over her life until such a thing can take place. We want to pray for Sister Shirley's daughter, Jessica. We're asking, Lord, for this daughter to be returned back home. We don't want there to be any hurt or harm or danger coming to her life while she's out there on the street. We need her to be returned home, and we pray that you will do that, have her to have a change of heart, knowing that this is not the life she needs to be living. And we know that her children even miss her and need to have a mother in their life. We pray that Sister Lenny, Sister Layani's daughter, we don't have an update on how things went with her in court, but we pray that all was favorable for her so that she can continue to move on with her life. And we ask that you will continue to give Sister Layani wisdom as she is on this, living in this new residence home with others, that she's not misguided, but that she can stand firm in truth, and that she will continue to let you direct her path and leading her on that path of righteousness. And we pray for her daughters, the other daughter, for her health recovery, as we know she has taken ill, and we ask that you will give her strength and renew her. We pray for Sister Odessa, Our hearts go out to this mother who lost all three of her sons, all to the same disease, cancer. And we just pray and ask, Lord, that you will fill her with your love and give her strength and peace and joy and even comfort. May she feel the presence of God's Spirit around and about her, keeping her in a position where she knows that you're holding her, Lord, where she knows that you're with her, and she knows that you're working with her. We pray for Sister Desiree's sons. We know that I believe even some one or two of the sons have been suffering with depression, and there's been another son that has even recognized the goodness of the Lord, and we just pray that both of these sons would be drawn to you. We also pray that she's able to gain victory over being intemperance, and we just pray, Lord, that you will help her in this effort. We ask also that the success of her outreach for her neighbor would be one where she'll be able to have them to know you. And we want to pray for Sister Charmin, asking prayer for herself, her son, and her daughter, for all of them to be drawn close to you, for their hearts and their minds to be able to be of you, Lord, in your goodness, and to help them to be strengthened as they spend time with you and for you to cover them with your protection. We want to pray for Sister Shirley's health recovery, Lord. We thank you that we were able to hear from her yesterday, and we can tell just a little bit in her voice that she's still is in need of recovery. So we ask that you would give her strength and give her that renewal of health as you would have it to be for your daughter. And Lord, we want to pray for Sister Angela's Bible studies with Pam, that they will continue and they would be successful. And we want to pray for Brother Peyton's family. And I believe at one point he was asking for Kendo, who needed employment. We're not sure if she has gained employment, but we do pray that that can come into fruition and for her also to be guided by your Spirit. And we want to pray for Brother, I'm not sure if it's Walker or Walking John, but either way, we want to keep him lifted before you, Lord. We know that he has Parkinson's disease, and we just want to pray for his strength and that you will continue to bless his life, him and his family. We do want to pray for our friends that are in jail. We ask that the fear of the Lord always would be in the face of this judge and that they may be released and be able to regain their family. They need their children, Lord, as they can continue to train them up in the admiration of the Lord as they should go. And we want to pray for Brother Joseph as well. We want to thank you, Lord, for him and just praying for him and his family. And we ask that you will bring all into a state of unification and for them to be able to all see Jesus in everything that is done. And we know there are silent petitions, and we do ask that you will honor those. And as we go about this day, may we each spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that we serve a God who hears and answers prayers, but most importantly, a God who wants us to communicate with him. So may we each spend personal time in prayer, lifting those petitions before you, Lord, because we know you are helping us, you are working to deliver us, and you are protecting us, and we thank you for that. Thank you for caring for us in such a way that we can't even begin to give our gratitude. But we do, Lord. We love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. We look forward to eternity with Jesus Christ, who is soon to come. And it is in his name we pray and ask all of these things with much thanksgiving. And it is for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, and sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will
see you all at 12:30 by the grace of God.